Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Vav, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Hey Amid Beis Ki Asa Rab Yitzchak Rab Yosef Amir Rab Yoicha. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechil Yosef ben Tzara, Henech Yisrael ben Esther Necha, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Yekusil ben Gittel, and Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela. Today's daf's also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Leia bas Rab Yaakov ben Zion, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Alchanan, Meir ben Zev, and Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Muktzah, the few dafin of Muktzah that are tucked away in the end of Perikira. Specifically, the Gemara is discussing the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So throughout Shas, whenever the Gemara talks about Muktzah, the Gemara says there's a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is Islay Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon is Leslay Muktzah. But we've seen enough already to know that that line, Rab Shimon, Lesle Mukta, is a little bit of a misnomer. Rab Shimon very much holds of the halacha of Mukta. It's just that Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon argued as to the extent to which the laws of Mukta apply. So whereas Rab Yehuda was very machmer in the world of Mukta, Rab Yehuda is Lesle Mukta, Rab Shimon was very makel in Mukta, Rab Shimon is Lesle Mukta. We mentioned yesterday that the Chassam Sofer in his Psicha to Masechtas Beya wrote a 2-page introduction to the laws of Muktzah. And one of the things he talks about is Shitas Rab Shimon. And the Chassam Sofer points out what we just pointed out, that even though the Gemara says Rab Shimon is less like Muktzah, Chas v'sholem, there's never been a person in the world, Avol mikamakam lo nechlok bazeh odam me'olam. No one ever argued as it relates to the halacha of Muktzah. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says there's an idea of Muktzah that's even midairais. It's based on a pasuk in the Torah. You couldn't argue with it even if you wanted to. What then is the yisoid of Rab Shimon's less like Muktzah? Says the Chassam Sofer, Rab Yehuda holds that in order for you to be able to use something on Shabbos, in order for it to not be Muktzah, you would have to be mechin it. Meaning, if you prepared it, you set it aside for Shabbos, you can use it. Anything that's not set aside for Shabbos is by definition set aside as if it wasn't going to be used for Shabbos. It's Muktzah. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Islay Muktzah. Rabbi Shimon doesn't take it so extreme. Rabbi Shimon says you don't have to prepare something for Shabbos in order for you to be able to use it. Something is not considered muktzah unless proven otherwise. It's just the opposite. We assume that everything that you have is mukhan l'shabbos. If you were doichet biyadayim, you physically did something to this item to push it away, it's only then that it's going to be muktzah. The other nafkemino, the Chassam Sofer says, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as it relates to muktzah, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if something's muktzah bein hashmashes, it remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. So even if the siba, the reason why this thing is muktzah, would somehow go away at some point on Shabbos, it wouldn't matter. Migudis katzoi bein hashmashes, is katzoy lekula yoima. Rav Shimon disagrees with that. Rav Shimon says, as long as something is muktzah, it's muktzah. But just because something was muktzah ben hashmasis, that doesn't necessarily define it as muktzah for the entire Shabbos. Now, even though the Chassam Sofer seemed to simplify shittas Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon holds it's muktzah if you doichet b'yadayim, Rav Shimon also doesn't hold of migu de is katzoy. But we saw in the Gemara that it's a little bit more complicated than that. The Chassam Sofer, of course, knew that. These are Gemaras and Rashis and Tosfos. But the Chassam Sofer felt that this is just a good yisoid to hold on to, as it would make the sugyas flow a little bit more smoothly. Either way, today's daf picks up with a discussion amongst the Amoraim, whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who was machmer in the laws of Muktzah, whether the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, who was makel in the laws of Muktzah. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef came, wherever the Gemara says Kiyasa, it means that the Amora was in Eretz Yisrael and he came back home. He came back Ben Azmanim to Bavel and he reported what he learned during his time in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yosef was an Amora living in Bavel. He went to Eretz Yisrael, he came back, and he reported in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan. He said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yehuda, the halachik is like Rabbi Yehuda as it relates to the laws of Muktzah. Rabbi Yochanan was the Mar da'asra, he was the Gadol Adar in Eretz Yisrael. And the Yidden in Bavel were often curious to know how Rabbi Yochanan paskin as it related to very important halachic decisions. And they would rely on the testimony of different Talmidim that would go learn in Eretz Yisrael. Ravin, Ravdimi, but there were many others as well. So Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef came back and he reported a very important piece of information. He said, you should know the Gadol Ador, Rabbi Yochanan, was of the opinion, Islay Mukta like Rabbi Yehuda. But then he continued, he said, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, however, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, another one of the Gedolei Hadar that were living in Eretz Yisrael, a contemporary of Yochanan, he said, Allah Rab Shimon. In other words, there was a big time machloikis between the Gedolei Amayraim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shua ben Levi held like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef heard this. And he said, Hainu damar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan. Now I understand what Rabbi Bar Bachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He said, quote, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Amru, they say, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. We saw this earlier on the Yomid. And Rashi said, who was they? Bnei HaYeshiva. So Rabbi Yosef said, always bothered me that Nusach, they say the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Do you hold the halachas like Rabbi Shimon, or do you not hold the halachas like Rabbi Shimon? He says, now I understand. Amru, they say the halachas like Rabbi Shimon. V'lei lo yisvirli, but Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't agree with that, because like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef just reported the name Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself held like Rabbi Yehuda. So he said, they in the yeshiva, the oilam, is of the opinion that the halachas like Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Yochanan himself held that the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, the Rabbi Yosef, Abaye told Rabbi Yosef. He said, I understand. V'atlei tisbra, there. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, meaning it sounds like Rabbi Yosef wasn't 100% sure what Rabbi Yochanan's shita was as it relates to Muksa. Does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda, or does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? He used this very vague language. Amru, they say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And it sounds like Rabbi Yosef was never sure what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, they say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now he fashteed, when he heard from Rabbi Yosef that Rabbi Yochanan paskin the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, he says, now I understand what he meant. He meant to say, they say that way, but I myself don't hold that way. As if to say, here's the point for the Gemara, this is the segue, that Rabbi Yosef wasn't sure really what Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was. And that's why he was a little unsure what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, they say, the halachas like Rabbi Shimon. So Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, how could you be unsure? I'll tell you a story that you probably know. And based on that story, it should be obvious that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So why were you unsure? Why were you insecure about this? Because Rab Abba of Rab Asi, Iklu lebe Rab Abba in Haifa. Rab Abba and Rab Asi were once by Rab Abba in Haifa. V'nafal minarta al glime. And they're sitting around, and a menorah fell on the shirt of Rav Asi, and he didn't move it. This was on Shabbos, and he let the menorah sit on him. So said Abaye, my time, why did Rav Asi not move the menorah? The only I could think of is because Rav Asi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Sfirulei, Islay Muksa, and Rabbi Yochanan must hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who is Islay Muksa, as a result, a menorah, a candelabra on Shabbos, assuming it was used to light Neiro Shabbos, is always going to be Mukta, because it was Mukta ben Ashmashis, it's Mukta Machmas Isser, Mikud is Katsoy ben Ashmashis, is Katsoy l'kuli yom. But the point is, it has to be Rav Asi held like Rabbi Yehuda, because if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, why wouldn't he just have moved the Menorah? Why would he have held like Rabbi Yehuda? Probably because that's what he was Mekabel from his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, why weren't you sure where Rabbi Yochanan's sheet is? Why are you getting so excited with this report from Eretz Yisrael? You should have known from this story, which apparently was a well-known story, that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef told him, he said, I'll tell you what, because that story has no bearing on whether Rabbi Yochanan or Rav Asi held like Rav Yehuda, held like Rav Shimon. Because Menarta Ka'amri, you're bringing a raya from a story that happened with a menorah. Menarta Shaini. A menarta is different. Meaning, there's a difference between a ner and a menorah. A ner that was used to light candles on Shabbos, once the candle extinguishes, whether or not you can move the ner, as in the candlestick, is a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It boils down to Muktzah Machmas Isser, Migud Iskatzoy Ben Ashmashas, Iskatzoy Lukulayan. But this was something else. This was a menorah. This was a whole leichter. This was a candelabra. A candelabra is more chomer, said Rabbi Yosef. And he tells me, if you have a candelabra that's light, you can carry it with one hand. Mutal, the halacha is, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. It's not Muktzah. B'shtei Yodav. However, if it's heavy, you can only carry it with two hands, then you're not allowed to carry it. We hold by ner like Rav Shimon. Avo menorah, as it relates to menorah, bein nitla b'yada yachas, bein nitla b'shtei yadav, asla ta'atla, the lach is not allowed to carry it. The point is that you see from here that a menorah is a separate Shulchan Aruch. You see, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish discussed the special halacha that you're not allowed to carry a candelabra on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment why. But that's a special halacha. That has nothing to do necessarily with Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. So just because Rav Asi didn't want to pick up the menorah, it's not a raya that he held like Rabbi Yehuda. And if that's the case, not a raya that is Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Could be held like Rabbi Shimon. But there's a special halacha that you're not supposed to carry a menorah. Says the Gemara, why not? What's the big deal about carrying a menorah? You can carry a ner, why can't you carry a menorah? So the Gemara says, Rabba, Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvayu, they both said, Hoyo v'odam koyvei ala makan. The reason is because a candelabra is usually not moved on Shabbos. It usually has its place. People never ever move it. And being that people never ever move it, it's for that reason, it's something that's considered mukta, even according to Rav Shimon. So again, you have to figure out how this fits into some of the rules we know about Shitas Rav Shimon as it relates to when he does hold a mukta and when he doesn't hold a mukta. But the point is, being that this has a kfios makim, it was never moved, so it's for that reason, this is the first reason the Gemara gives why a menorah would be different, that's what Rabbi Yosef said, it's for that reason menorah is different. The point is, from the fact Rav Asi didn't want to move the menorah, it's not a right that he held like Rabbi Yehuda, could be really held like Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, only Abaye Rabbi Yosef, but Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, so you're telling me the reason Rav Asi didn't want to move the menorah is because a menorah is different. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish already discussed that even according to Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't be able to move a menorah. And the reason is because it's kaveh amakam. No one ever moves it. No one ever moves it. It becomes muksa. So he said, is that true? Varekilas chasanim. What about the canopy that was used by chasanim? Or at least it was known as the kilas chasanim. The adam kaveh amakam, where that's something that wasn't moved. Vamash Shmuel. And Shmuel said, Mishum Rabchia, kilas chasanim, mutalim toiso, mutalifarka v'shabbos. You're allowed to put it together on Shabbos, and you're allowed to take it down on Shabbos. Now the kilas chasanim, again, if you have a picture, it's worth 1,000 words. But basically it was a bed, and the bed had a little canopy on it. So there were poles on the bed that allowed you to drape a cloth that would form a perfect triangle. Being that it formed a perfect triangle, as opposed to it having a roof on top that's at least wide a tefach, this kila wasn't considered an oil. And to the extent it's not considered an oil, so there's no iser to put it up and take it down on Shabbos. But one thing is clear. If you're putting it up and you're taking it down, you're obviously moving it. So the question is, why are you allowed to move it? I thought it's mukta. So you'll tell me maybe that it's going according to Rav Shimon. But you just told me that even Rav Shimon, who's less like mukta, holds that if something is kaveh aloi makam, you're not allowed to move it. So how could you, Rav Yosef, say that a menorah is different? Even Rav Shimon's going to hold that a menorah is going to be a problem. It's mukta because it's kaveh aloi makam. I'll bring you a ride from the kilas chasanim. There was a whole discussion amongst the sages whether you can put it together, whether you can take it apart. If it's mukta, then forget about building it and demolishing it. There's a mukta problem anyway. So the Gemara says, Alam Rabbayis, Abayis, I'll tell you maybe why menorah is different. It's for something else. The reason is b'shal chulyos. It's because these big candelabras, once upon a time, were put together in pieces. Rashi says it was shal prakim. They were made up of different pieces that were put together. There's a concern that if you're going to carry the menorah, you may drop it. If you drop it, or it may come apart, then you may put it back together. And putting together a broken keli involves melech Shabbos. So it's for that reason it's going to be an issue. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, my time of the Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, the Shari, then why was Rish Lakish matter? Meaning there was Machlokes Rish Lakish Rav Yochanan as relates to this menorah. Can you carry it or not? Rav Yochanan said you're never allowed to carry it. It doesn't matter if it's light, it doesn't matter if it's heavy. Rish Lakish said that if you're able to carry it with one hand, it's light, then you can carry it. If it's a little heavier, you need two hands to carry it, then you're not allowed to carry it. The Gemara's kasha is, if there's a concern of maybe it's going to come apart, then that concern should be present even if it's a lighter menorah. So, l'chura, the Gemara's kasha is, if Abai is right and the reason you're not allowed to carry a menorah is because you're worried about the chuyas coming apart, it dismantling on its own, then l'chura, that should be a problem even if it's light. So the Gemara says, you're right, my chuyas ke'en chuyas, the isbe chitke. You're right, we're not talking about a menorah that really was made up of different parts. If it was made up of different parts, nobody would ever argue that there's a problem to carry a menorah. What we're discussing is a menorah that wasn't made up of parts. It was one solid menorah. So really, there is no concern that's going to come apart. However, although it doesn't have chulyos, it has chitki. Chitki are grooves. So it looks a little bit like it's made up of parts. Being that it looks like it's made up of parts, so Chamim said, if you're going to carry this menorah, the one that's not made up of parts, you may come to carry the other menorah that is made up of parts. That one already we're worried about. So it's a gzerah, the Chachamim said, the one that's ke'en chulyos, meaning it has chitki, that's a problem. So what? So the Gemara explains, chulyos, ben gedayla, ben katan asur. You're right, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish agrees as well, that if you have a menorah that's made up of chulyos, whether it's big, whether it's small, it's always going to be awesome. couple. Gedoyla, if it's big, nami de isba chidki. Even if it doesn't have chulyos, all it has is chidki. Gzeira atu gedoyla de chulyos. There's a gzeira atu the one of chulyos. The big one that has chidki, you're worried about as a gzeira. Maybe you're gonna go ahead and carry the big one that has chulyos. Keep pleading. The machloekis was biktana, a small one de isba chidki. Mar savar, Rabbi Yochanan felt that even by the small one that has chidki gazrina, you have to make a gzeira. Umar savar and Rish Lakish held that the small one, you don't have to make a gzeira, and the reason is because the smaller one, it was less shchiach, that it would be made up of chulyas. So there's less of a concern that this whole issue is going to ever become an issue. So there the chachamim were in geyser, it's by the big ones that the chachamim were geyser. Bottom line is we had two pshatim as to why a menorah may be a little bit different than ordinary mukta. Either a menorah is different than ordinary mukta, or different than a ner, because adam kaveh alei makim, or it's because of a chashash that some menorahs were made out of chulyos, and there's a concern that it may come apart, and if it comes apart, you're going to put it back together. Regardless, going back to the bigger picture, we're discussing whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, specifically Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef came back from Eretz Yisrael. He told the Chevron Bavel, I have a report for you. Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef heard that, he got very excited. He says, now I understand what Rabbi Yochanan used to say. Amru, the Bnei Yeshiva said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. He was saying that the Bnei Yeshiva felt that way, but he himself really held the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye thought it was poshet. He thought he had a raya from a story that took place in Haifa with Rav Asi, a menorah fell on him. He didn't want to move the menorah. Must be because he was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, and must be because he held a menorah's muksa. Why would a menorah be muksa? That's Rabbi Yehuda 101. And Rabbi Yosef told him, no, don't bring me raya from menorahs. Menorahs are different. Even Rabbi Shimon would be moida by menorahs. Again, we're back to the discussion. Coin to Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yehuda, or does Rabbi Yochanan hold that the halachas are Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is it possible Rabbi Yochanan could hold that the halachas are Rabbi Yehuda? If I'm Rabbi Yochanan, look, it's not Mishnah. We know Rabbi Yochanan Shita is throughout Shas. If you look at the Masoras HaShas, there's about 20 Marim Mekoinus. Throughout Shas, Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha kistam mishnah. Not everyone held that halacha is always like a stam mishnah. This was Rabbi Yochanan's novel idea that anytime there's a stam mishnah in Shas, that's the halacha. But now we learned the stam mishnah. Now this mishnah is a little bit of an abstract mishnah, but we just had it the other day. Muchni shalah, the wheel of a coach, the wheel of a wagon, is manchi nishmetes, if it's removable. So a few halachas that relate to Tumah V'Tayr. Number one, in chibula, it's not considered attached with regards to conveying tumah. Ve'inim dedesima, it doesn't measure together with the rest of the wagon if you want to determine the shear tumah. Ve'imatzelasima ba'ilames, and it's not part of the wagon if you want to be matzel something inside of it from tumah soil. What we need is the next halach. Ve'in gari noise of Shabbos, you now let us schlep this muchni on Shabbos. V'zman she'echol amoyz, in the event that there's money on it, because if there's money on it and it's nishmetes, then it has a din of a basis al davar aser. We spoke about this in yesterday's daf. Says the Gemara, one thing is clear: the same deal the Gemara made yesterday. Ha'inol amoyz. If there'd be no money on the mukhni, you'd be able to drag the mukhni. And this is true even if there was money on it, and the Gemara, if you remember, proved from this Mishnah that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. The Gemara there asked it as a kasha on Rav, and the Gemara says, yeah, Rav held like Rav Yehuda. This Mishnah holds like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon doesn't hold of migudis katzai. The problem is, it's a stam Mishnah. And being that it's a stam Mishnah, we know Rav Yechon holds the halacha is always like a stam Mishnah. That means that you come out in Cheshbon, Rabbi Yechon holds halachas like Rabbi Shimon. So what's going on over here? Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef reported back that Rabbi Yechon held halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. It's a stira to Rabbi Yechon's own rule that halachas is not Mishnah. And we have a Stam Mishnah in Mesechtes Kalim, which is very, very clear that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Zeira said, the truth is, it's not really so clear in the Mishnah. Because it's only a diak in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if there's money on the Muchni, and it's a removable muchni, then you're allowed to schlep it. If there's no money, it's fine. It sounds like if there's no money, even if there was money, bein hashmashas. Who said? Rabbi Zeira said, I could always tell you, Rabbi Yechon learned the Mishnah differently. Tehei Mishnah seinu, shalei hayolav mois, ko bein hashmashas. Shalei lishbar dvar shal Rabbi Yechon. Even though I think it's a little doichik, said Rabbi Zeira, but I don't want to break the words of Rabbi Yechon. I can't have a steer in the great Rabbi Yechon. He said, this is my only way out. Meaning, when the Mishnah said, if there's no money, you're allowed to schlep it. It doesn't mean if there's no money now. It means if there was no money, bein hashmashes. If there was no money, bein hashmashes, then you don't say migudus katzoi. But if there was money, bein hashmashes, being that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, you would say migudus katzoi. It would be a problem. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Pam machas halach Rabbi le diaspora. Rabbi once went to the diaspora, v'hayra, and he paskened as follows. Bin menoira ki Rabbi Shimon b'ner. He paskened by a menoira
like Reb Shimon by a ner. Okay, so the Gemara said, what does this even mean? Ibayelu, hayra b'menayra, did he mean to say that Rebbe Paskin regarding a menayra, ki Reb Shimon b'ner le'teira, Reb Shimon holds, you're allowed to move a ner. That's Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon doesn't hold a migudis katzai. He doesn't hold a muktzah machmas iser. So did Rebbe Shuv and Levi mean that Rebbe said that even a menayra, what's different about a menorah? Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish Chulyos, that's the first part of the daf. That even a menorah he held bakula like Rav Shimon did by an error. I don't know what he meant to say was, Hoyra b'menorah le'isura, one thing, uke Rav Shimon b'ner le'teira. But as it relates to Rav Shimon b'ner le'teira, and the Gemara says teiko, meaning, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that Rebbe said, b'menorah ki Rav Shimon b'ner. Is it one thing or is it two things? Did he mean to say menorah is like Rav Shimon's ner? Rav Shimon's ner is mutter after the fire extinguishes. Menorah is also mutter. It doesn't have a unique place in the laws of muktzah. Or did he mean to say two things? Hayrikur b'menorah, kama, and Rav Shimon b'ner. B'menorah l'chumra, Rav Shimon b'ner l'etir. Rav Malkiya, ikla l'bei Rav Simloi. Rav Malkiya was once by Rav Simloi, v'tultal shraga. And he moved the leichter. This was after he moved the candle. V'ikpid Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi got really upset. What's the machloikis? Rav Malkiya must have held like Rav Shimon. And Rav Simloi must have held like Rav Yehuda. Similar story. Rav Yosi Gliloi ikla l'asri de Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. Tiltol Shraga. He also moved the scandal. V'ikpid Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. Rav Yosi Rav Chanina got upset. What's the machloikis? Same machloikis. Rav Yosi Gliloi held like Rav Shimon. And Rav Yosi Rav Chanina obviously held like Rav Yehuda. Rav Avo, the Gemara says, ki ikla l'asri b'shur m'levi. When he was in Rabbi Shua ben Levi's kehila, had a metaltal shraga. He used to be maker like Rabbi Shimon. But when he was in Rabbi Yochanan, tferia, lay have a metaltal shraga. He didn't carry a shraga. So the Gemara says, manavshach, what's going on over here? Ikrab Yudas feel like Avik Rabbi Yudik. Rabbi Shimon's feel like Rabbi Shimon. Did he hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Did he hold like Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Did he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Did he hold like Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, let him Rabbi Shimon's feel like. Really, he was maker like Rabbi Shimon. And as a result, really, he would have always followed Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's kehila, he wanted to be machmer. Kedai Rabbi Yehuda, lismay chalav. So he went like Rabbi Yehuda, he went like Rabbi Yochanan, and that's when he was machmer. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, shraga de mishcha, shari le tultula. If you have a ner that was used to light candles for Shabbos, the ner was fueled with good old-fashioned oil. Now it extinguished. You're allowed to be metaltal it. Obviously, according to Reb Shimon, who holds that a ner shakava, you're allowed to be metaltal b'shavas. The nafta, if however it was used with naft, so this is of Perik b'mem adlikin fame. Rashi says the misrach, it smelled really, really bad. It's one of the shmonim that were debatable whether or not you're allowed to use on Shabbos. So then the halach is also a tatula. Then you're not allowed to carry it. So Rabbi Yehuda, as in Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi, was a little bit of a machria over here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Shraga de mishcha shari l'totula. De nafta asa l'totula. So the Gemara says, Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef ta'amri travayu. De nafta namin shari l'totula. I disagree with that. We hold that even if it's made out of naft, the halacha is you're allowed to be metalta. So the Gemara says, Rav Avi ikhla lebe Rabba. Have a me'ison be'kare betina. Rav Avi was once by Rava, and his feet were very, very dirty. Right? In the olden days, they didn't always wear shoes. That's why pun of yada v'ragla, when we spoke about showers on Yontif. Yapanov, Yadav, they used to wash their feet because at the bare minimum, if you didn't wear shoes, your feet would get dirty. So the Gemara tells a story. Rav Avya had dirty feet. He walks into Rav's house and the Gemara says, Aisvei Apuria. And he sits down and he puts his feet on the table or on Rav's bed. And the Gemara says, Ikpid Rav. Rav got very upset. Boilitz Uri. So he decided that he's going to be Mitzai Rav Avya. So again, you have to maybe look in the Shmiras Halashin, who talks about some of these Gemaras where you find that Mayram seem to be acting in a questionable way, Ben Adam Lechaver. But the Gemara says Rava was disappointed at what Rav Avya did, and he felt that he wanted to be Mitzarim. So how's Rava going to be Mitzarim? He's going to ask you a question that you probably don't know the answer to. So the Gemara says that was one of his tricks that he had. So he said, my time of the Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Damich Ravayu, Shraga de Nafta, Nami Sharilu Tultule. In other words, there was a machlekes whether a Shraga de Nafta also little tule or mutter little tule. And Rava said, I understand that the atzad that it should be also little tule. And again, just to be clear, we're going according to Reb Shimon, who holds that a ner shakava you're allowed to be metalta. You don't say migudis katzoi. But at the same time, if the candle was made of naft, it smells really, really bad, then it's a machloikis whether you're allowed to carry it or not. So the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, said Asul L'Talta. Rabbi Yosef said Mutul L'Talta. So Rabbi turns to Rabbi Avi and he says, I'll tell you Pshana Rabbi Yehuda. I, for the life of mine, don't know Pshana Rabbi Yosef. Maybe you could help me out. It was his way of being Mitzai Rav Avia because he didn't think there was any chance Rav Avia was going to have a pshat. Now, what would be the reason that Asul L'Talta? We didn't explain this. What would be the reason? So Rashi says the reason would be because once the ner extinguishes, the oil smells so bad, no one's ever going to use it for anything. It smells so bad that even in Rav Shimon's world, this has no value. It sounds like it's treated like a rock or tzrayris. It has no chashivas at all. And Rav Shimon, of course, is maida, something that's muksu machmas gufoy, something that intrinsically has no chashivas at all, can't be used. So being that this is something no one would ever use, so it became like an evan and a tzrayris, and at that point, the thought is it should be muktzah. But Rav Yosef held that it's mutter. So this was Rav's question that he asked Rav Avia. So the Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav Avia told Rav, I don't understand what your kash is. You can't use it for anything. Yeah, maybe you're not going to eat out of it. But you could use it. You can use it to cover something. You can't use it to cover something. It smells anyway, so it's in your house. You're not throwing it out. So you use it to cover something. So he told him back, El Miata, Rava said, Kol Tzroi V'Shevachatzim Etalton. All Tzroirites, all racks, all of a sudden, everything should have a usage. I mean, everyone agrees Tzroiris HaMuktzah. Why? Because it's not used for anything. Why is it not used for anything? I don't understand. Why can't I use it to cover things? He told him, and this is a very important line in Muktzah. Meaning, there's a difference between a rock that has no Hishtamshus and a Keli that perceivably has no Hishtamshus. A rock is be'etzim something that nobody uses. So that, you assume always, has no hishtamshus, as opposed to a keli, which really is a bar hishtamshus. It just so happens there's something wrong with it now. So now all you need to do is find some angle where maybe you can use it for it to be able to retain its status as being functional. Meaning an Evan wakes up in the morning not functional. So you want to tell me, yeah, but I can always use it for that. That's al tzad harichok. That's too far-fetched. That doesn't count. But when you have a keli that is usually used for things, now it got damaged. So now all you need to do is a little maintenance. You need to maintain its status as being functional. As long as you can use it for something, even to cover a keli, that would be enough. And he told him, I'll prove it to you. Because me like Tanya, didn't even learn in a braisa, hashirim, v'hanazam, v'tabois, jewelry, harayin kechol ha-kelim, and he told him b'chatzar, the halachas is treated like kelim, and you're allowed to carry it in a chatzar. So we're going to see, we're going to learn a perek called Bameh Isha Yoitzis. And perek Bameh Isha Yoitzis talks about the halacha that a woman wasn't allowed to go into Rosh Hashanah Rabin wearing certain things. So for example, Medina de Gemara, Medina the Mishnah, a woman is not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. A man can, incidentally. A woman is not allowed to. The reason is because Nashim Daitan Kalos, and we're concerned that she's going to meet her friend, or her friend's going to say, that's a nice piece of jewelry, and she's going to take it off, and she's going to show it to her, and the next thing you know, she carries Dalar Hamas Prishus Arabim. Sadum L'Shofa Mechavya, this is the Gezer the Chachamim of Bameh Yisha Yoitzis. There's a mandama that holds that anything that a woman wasn't allowed to wear in Rishus Arabim, she couldn't even wear in a Chatzar. Why? This is like a gzera de gzera. We're afraid that she may take it to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, see her friend, take her earrings off, take a look at this, and the next thing you know, they're carrying. Stating that, you would think then that jewelry should be muktzah, but jewelry is not muktzah. The halach is harein kechol hakelim ani tal b'chatzar. You're allowed to carry it. What's the reason? V'amar Ula said, even though it really has no function, matam ha'il v'ikot teres kliyola, because it has a teres keli. So you see from here, hachanami ha'il v'ikot teres kliyola, if something's a keli, even if the hishtamshus that it has is al tzad arichuk, that's enough for it to be considered a keli. So an evan, which is not a keli, the fact that you figured out al tzad arichuk what to do with it, that wouldn't be enough for it to be considered functional, for it not to be considered muktzah. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak heard the story. Again, what was the story? Rav Avi walked into Rav's house with dirty feet. He put his feet on Rav's couch, on Rav's bed. Rav got very upset. The Gemara says, Boil it. So Uri wanted to be Mitzayrim, and the way he was Mitzayrim was he started asking him questions, right? He started fighting, right? And he thought that he would be able to stump him. And his question was, why is it that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Dami Travayu, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to be Metaltal and Ner Shakova, even if it was made out of Neft? If it's made out of Neif, it's Muktzah, no one's going to use it. It should be like an Evan, Rav Shimon's Moida, that an Evan is Muktzah. And after all that, Rav Avia gave him a pretty good answer. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak heard this, and he said, Baruch Rachmano, the like Kasife Rav of the Rav Avia. Baruch Hashem, that Hashem speared Rav Avia, and he didn't allow Rav to embarrass Rav Avia. He didn't allow Rav Avia to be embarrassed from Rav. Either way, Zok the Gemara, Romali Abai Lo Rabbo. Abai asked Rabbo, Tanya went into the Bais, left over oil in the Ner, Vishabikara. What's the halacha? Also, Rabbi Shimon Mater. This is the machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda 101. Do you say migudis katzai, or do you not say migudis katzai? Do you say the oil was mukta ben hashmashes, that any leftover oil on Shabbos is going to be mukta as well, Rabbi Yehuda? Or do you not say migudis katzai, Rabbi Shimon? So, Rabbi, yes, Rabbi Kasha, Alma, you see from here, the Rabbi Shimon lesley mukta. Yeah, we know that. That Rabbi Shimon knows lesley mukta. That is exhibit A for Rabbi Shimon sheet of lesley mukta. For a minu, but he asked the Kasha from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Beir. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'ein the context over there is the halachos of a bechor. So what's the halachos of a bechor? There's a whole mesechtes called mesechtes bechoris that deals with a firstborn animal, kosher animal, sharei kesef by eski yivali. The halachos, you have to give it to a kohen. Now what did the kohen do with it? If the animal was a tamim, it didn't have a mum, it was something that can go on the mizbeach, he had to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, put it on the mizbeach. If it had a mum, he got to keep it. And the halacha is he didn't have to put it on the mizbeach. So we're discussing now an animal that developed a mum on Yontif. The question is, can you now take this animal and shecht it? On Shabbos, you can't shecht it anyways. But on Yontif, were you allowed to shecht? So the question is, are you allowed to take this animal now? And are you allowed to shecht it on Yontif? On the one hand, right now I'm allowed to eat it. Why not? But the reason why not is because it wasn't muchan. It wasn't muchan because before Shabbos it didn't have a mum. So before Shabbos it didn't have a mum. Before Shabbos you had no way of eating it. You'd have to take it to the Beis HaMikdash. It would have been much more complicated. As a result, so there's a mukta shaila. That's why it's a mesechtes beya. So again, Rab Shimon Oimer, kol she'ein mum nikum erev yontif. If there was a mum erev yontif, but it wasn't nikum, they didn't know, the person, the kohen didn't know that it had a mum erev yontif. The halacha is ein zemen amucha. He's not allowed to eat it. So what was his kasha? Abaye told Rabbi Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon's lesley mukta. Rab Shimon doesn't hold you have to be making something. So if Rab Shimon's lesley mukta, why should this be a problem according to Rab Shimon? So again, the Gemara says another yesoid, another carve out in this idea that Rab Shimon is lesley mukta. Hachi Ashli said, "Hasam over there, Adam Yoishevu Mitzapa a Masai Techabeneiroi." By a ner, the person sitting around waiting, he may want the oil, he may need it, and as a result, I can't wait till my ner extinguishes. I want to use the oil. Meaning, not only does Rab Shimon not hold of migudis katzai, but there's an element over here that we assume the person was meichen on some level the shemen, because he may have wanted it. He may be yoishev u'mitzapa, literally staring at the candle, waiting for it to extinguish. So like this, he would be able to use the oil. But hacha, over here, adam yoishev u'mitzapa, masa yipa by mum, is it possible that a person, a kohen that has an animal, he may be waiting to see, I hope this animal develops a mum? It's not likely that would happen. Why not? Because meimar amar, he's going to say, number one, mi'em in the nafal bei mumma. What are the chances it's going to get a mum? Vim tim to the nafal bei mumma, and if it forgets a mum, mi'em in the nafal bei mum kavua. Who says it's going to be the type of mum that would render the animal a bechor b'mum that you could eat it. The intim tzulim the nafal b'mum, and even if it gets a mum kavua, mi yemid mezakel lechacham, the kohen himself wasn't allowed a paskin. He's the classic negei b'davar. He had to give it to a chacham. Who said he's even going to be able to find a chacham that's going to be able to paskin for him? So over there, we assume for sure he's masiach das. Either way, this idea of yoishev u'mitzapa somehow infiltrates Rav Shimon Shitas. It's not so cut and dry as in terms of when Rav Shimon is islay mokza, leslay mokza. That's definitely one of the takeaways of the last three dafin. Regardless, the Gemara is being mechalik over here between a shemen where you yoishev u'mitzapa, between the mechar where you're not yoishev u'mitzapa. One more Gemara. Masif Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asked the kash mafir nedar mishabes talach is that if a woman makes a neder, her husband can be made for the neder. The same is true for a girl that's younger than bas mitzvah, or if she's a naira, the halach is that her father could be made for a neder. So the question is, could you do a faris nedarim on Shabbos enough? Mithirin nedarim b'shabbos. Additionally, v'nishalim l'nedarim shehin l'tzarich Shabbos. You can make if someone makes a neder, he can go to a chacham and he can be mat the neder. So you could do hafaras nedarim, that's when the husband or the father are annulling the neder. You could do ataras nedarim, that's when we sit around there of Rosh Hashanah and we say mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Why are you allowed to do that? Meaning, the only time you're allowed to do it is l'tzarech HaShabbos. So what would be the classic example of being made for a neder, be mat a neder l'tzarech HaShabbos? You're hungry, you want to eat. Rashi says you made a neder, you're not going to eat. So you want to eat food. Problem is you're a muder hana. So you're going to go to a rav, you're going to go to your husband, mufalach, mutalach, and like this, you'll be able to eat. The problem is, being that betchilas HaShabbos, you were not allowed to eat this food, the food should be mukta. So how does Afaras Nadarim work? How does Ataras Nadarim work? Shouldn't you have a Muktzah problem? So the Gemara's kash is first from Afaras. So what are you going to tell me? She's Yoshev Mitzapa. Maybe your husband will be made for the nether. How does she know? Maybe your husband will be made for the nether. So the Gemara says, Kedura Pinchas Mishmei Rav. It's based on a big Yisoyed of Masechtas Nadarim that Rav Pinchas said over in the name of Rav. Dama Pinchas Mishmei Rav, Kalani Deres, Aldaz Baili Nedes. When a woman makes the nether, she's always thinking her husband. Rav Pinchas said that that's the time of the krah. That's why the Torah said that a husband's allowed to be made for his wife's nether. Because presumably when he made the nether, or when she made the nether, she only did it al daita dahachi, that her husband's going to be okay with it. So being that she's thinking in terms of her husband anyways, when she made the nether, she says, my husband can agree or not agree. So obviously she's thinking, what's her husband going to say? So she is a yoshev mitzapa. So it's for that reason, it's not going to be an issue of muktzah. The Gemara says, Tashma, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Nishalim l'nedarim shal tzarech Shabbos b'Shabbos. You're also glad to be matan at it. Then you don't have the svar of kol nedaris al das bai l'nedaris. V'amai, lemi miyemi d'mazak alei chacham. Maybe there's not going to be a chacham. The Gemara says, Hasam, ilam is nakalei chacham. Sagile begimel adyaitis. Over there, you don't need a chacham. Meaning, for a Bechar, you have to come onto a Chacham. So being that for a Bechar, you have to come onto a Chacham, how do you ever know you're going to find a Chacham? But over here, you don't need a Chacham. Three Adyaitis will be, all you need is three people. You walk into Shul, you ask three people, and you ask them if they can do it. Chacham over here, mi'yemid, the Bezak le'chacham. But by the Bechar, it's not Mochach, you're going to find a Chacham. Therefore, there's no Yoshev Mitzapa. With regard to the Mudarana, there's a concept of Yoshev Mitzapa. And being that there's a concept of Yoshev Mitzapa, after the Hafara Sadarim, after that Tara Sadarim, the food is not going to be Muktzah. However, as it relates to Bechar, where you need to establish that it's a mum and it's a mum kavua, you need a chacham to do it, so there's no yoshev and mitzapa. That's another example. Just chalk it up as another example of where Reb Shimon, who's less like mukta, actually holds of the laws of mukta exhale. So just to conclude with one raid bite as it relates to mukta with a little bit of a left turn, a little bit of a digression. So we mentioned in the introduction to Muktzah that really the laws of Muktzah seem to have been introduced in phases. The Chasam Sofer says that there's an element of Muktzah that's Midai Raisa, that's learned out from a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Beshalach, the Parshas Haman. Hashem told the Yidden that Lechem Mishnah, a double portion of man is going to fall on Friday. That on Friday you're going to prepare your food for Shabbos. So you see, there's an idea that you have to prepare, which is the root of the laws of Muktzah. Muktzah really is the derivative. It's the flip side of the coin of Mukhan. You have to prepare. As a result, if you didn't prepare, it ends up being mukta, and it's a pasuk in the Torah. But the Chasam Sofer said that pasuk was talking specifically about food. It was dealing with the man. So said the Chasam Sofer, if you have food that's mukta, there's an issa da iraisa to eat it. We saw that the laws of mukta surfaced again in the times of David and Shlomo HaMelech. David HaMelech died on Shabbos Kodesh. He was outside. His body was laying out in the sun. It was on Shavuos, Chazal say. And Shlomo HaMelech didn't know what to do. He wasn't sure. He's allowed to move David. He's not allowed to move David. Shalach l'Beis Medrash. He sent a messenger to the Beis Medrash, and they came back to him and they told him, you can't move him. He's mukta. What you should do is you should put a kikar or a tinak on top of David HaMelech and move him that way. Make him a bosses l'davar heter. And that's the way to move him. But there was a concept of mukta in the times of David and the times of Shlomo. And then you have the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufchav Gimel Amin Beis, which mentions that it happened. So even though there is an element of mukta that's midai raisa, but clearly the main halach of mukta, the way it evolved, really was rabbinic in nature. It seems to have surfaced in the times of David and Shlomo, but primarily it really came full force in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, in the times of Nechemya ben Chachaya. Clearly then, the Chachamim at some point decided to either establish a halach of Muktzah, or at the very least, expand on the halach of Muktzah. And the question is why? And Pashup Shad is, based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amid Beis, it would seem it was related to a Gezerah Atu Haitzav. Chum were afraid that if people would be allowed to carry anything they want, these kalim, those kalim, they may come to carry from a Shusayach to a Rishus Arabin. And that's already a Malacha Deiraisa. It's the 39th Malacha. It's a Malacha Gerua. Maybe it needed a little bit of Chizik. But the point is, Haitzav is a Malacha Deiraisa. And as a Gzera for this Malacha Deiraisa, the Chachamim felt that we have to establish the laws of Muktzah. And the truth is, the Ravid, in his Asagas HaRavid, in the end of Perik Chav Dalin in Hilchah Shabbos, when he discusses the taima, the reason that the Chachamim instituted the laws of Muktzah. He quotes that Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Dalet Amid Beis. He says it's related to the Malacha Vaitzah, and that was the brilliant Cheshbon that we spoke on in the Psicha to Muktzah from the Chassam Sofer, making sense of why Beis Hillel would be Mekel in the laws of Muktzah and Shabbos, and be machmir the laws of Muktzah on Yontif, because on Yontif there's no Itzah. So he was worried that people would make light of the whole halacha of Muktzah, and that's why Mishum da Asil Lizalzulebe, the Chamu went ahead and they were machmir. But either way, even though the Ravid quotes that Gemara in Shabbos Kuchav Dalar Mideis as the makar for why the Chachamim instituted the halachas of Muktzah, the Rambam himself in Perek Chav Dalar of his Yad Chazaka doesn't bring that reason. And what's so mysterious is that the Rambam doesn't just give one other reason, he gives three other reasons. So the Rambam goes through in detail three suggestions as to why the Chachamim instituted the laws of Muktzah, and for some reason he omitted the one that seems the most obvious, the one that the Ravid Titus is the one the Rambam should have quoted, and that is Tiltul is awesome, Mishum Eitzah. So what were the Rambam's three reasons? So the Rambam says as follows. Again, it's in Hilcha Shabbos. It's Perek Chav Dalet. It's Halacha Yud Beis. Asru Chachamim L'taltul Mikzas Varim B'Shabbos. Kederech Shu Oysa B'Chal. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to carry certain things on Shabbos in the same way that you carry them during the week. U'mipnei Ma'anogu B'Sazeh. Why did the Chachamim institute this Halacha? Amr, they said, U'ma Imaziru Nevi'im. V'tzivu Shalo Yehei Hi Luchach B'Shabbos Ki Luchach B'Chal. Because the Chachamim made a back of the envelope cheshbon. They said the Chachamim said it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'daber davar. You're not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. You shouldn't talk the same way on Shabbos as you do during the week. Shenema v'daber davar. So they said kal v'chomer shloyeh tiltul b'Shabbos k'tiltul b'chol. Then certainly you shouldn't carry things on Shabbos that you carry during the week. K'dei shloyeh k'yoyim chol be'enof. So that Shabbos shouldn't be like a weekday in your eye. Because let's be honest, if you can carry whatever you want, it's going to give you a lot more options of how to kill your Shabbos afternoon. And that's precisely what the Chachamim didn't want you to do. Because you're home, you don't have what to do. See, you're just going to end up being busy. You're going to rearrange this. That's what you're going to start doing. V'nimtzo says the Rambam Shalei Shavas. It's going to come out that this is not a Shabbos. U'botel hatam shenema b'toyre l'man yanuach. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to violate what the Torah meant when it said l'man yanuach. The Torah says you're supposed to rest on Shabbos. And the Rambam says, the Chachamim were afraid that if you're allowed to carry things, the next thing you know, you're going to spend your whole Shabbos afternoon carrying things from this corner of the house to that corner of your house, and you're going to end up wasting your whole Shabbos. I mean, you have nothing to do anyway, says the Rambam. You're Yoshev Batal. You're not out in the field, so you're going to end up not having a Shabbos. And the Rambam's lashon is, V'nimtzo shelo Shabbos, u'batal hatam shenemar b'toyre l'man yanuach. It goes against the spirit of the law of L'man Yanuach, of what the Torah said when it says you're supposed to rest on Shabbos. That's the first reason the Rambam gives. Second reason the Rambam says is V'oid, he says very simple, if you're going to carry kelim that you're allowed to carry, you may start carrying kelim that involve malacha, and the next thing you know, you might do malachas. Doesn't say hoitzah. He seems to be emphasizing a keli, shemalach delis, or a keli whose usage is for doing malachas. That's the second reason the Rambam gives. And then the third reason the Rambam gives is also fascinating. He says, "Va'oid when they shemix us ha'am in bali umnis." It's because there's a percentage of the population that don't work during the week. Ela b'teilim kol yameyim, and he gives examples. Kegoyin hatayolim v'yoshvei kronos shekol yameyim heim shoysim b'malacha. It's not just b'yei mashvi tishbois; they rest the whole Shabbos. He says the whole week. V'miyam mutal halich l'daber l'taltol. So he says if you're going to be able to do whatever you want on Shabbos, nimsa shloish shavas shvisa anikeres. The fact that this guy's not going to work doesn't make it look like Shabbos. He doesn't go Tuesday either. So you need that. There should be something nicker about today. So says the Rambam, you know what's nicker about today? He says like this, you don't carry muktzah. Either way, says the Rambam, three reasons. And the Chachamim said that there's a concept of muktzah. But I want to just stop for a moment and go through a little bit the first of the Rambam's three reasons. So the first of the Rambam's three reasons is that the Chachamim understood that if you're going to be able to carry whatever you want on Shabbos, your Shabbos is not going to be a Shabbos. Nimsa shaloi shavas u'batal hatam shenema b'toyre l'man yanuach. The Torah said l'man yanuach. The Torah said that you're supposed to rest on Shabbos. And if you're going to start being metaltal things, it's not going to be a l'man yanuach. And as a result, you have to make sure that the Shabbos is really a Shabbos. Because if not,
it's not going to be a Laman Yanuch. And the truth is, if you think about it for a second, the Ram is a little bit of a chiddush. Because it's true, it says in the Torah, Laman Yanuch. But the Chachamim defined what Laman Yanuch means. Laman Yanuch means you have to rest, definition, don't do the 39 malachas. If Muktzah is not one of the 39 malachas, then if you violate the laws of Muktzah, you didn't violate the Laman Yanuch. So what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam saying that really midday raisa, it's lamatas malachas. The problem is the Chachamim understood that if you're going to limit your Shabbos to lamatas malachas, it's not going to be Laman Yanuch, because you're going to be doing everything be'ofen aheter, and as a result, you'll be a novel b'shus ha-toyrah, so to speak. It's not going to be a Shabbos. It won't be Laman Yanuch. What do you mean? Of course it's Laman Yanuch. Laman Yanuch has a definition, has a very academic definition. It means lamatas malachas. So to the extent I'm not violating the lamatas malachas, why am I violating the Laman Yanuch? In other words, the Rambam is definitely tzarech beer. So the emes is, there is a beer in this Rambam from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damai. And Rabbi Chanan uses this Rambam as a yesoid gadol to answer one of the great kashas of all time. But this kasha needs a little bit of an introduction. That is, it's yodua, the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says that if a person is over an Issa d'Rabbanon, he's also over an Issa d'Raisa. So any time a person's over an Issa d'Rabbanon, he's also over an Issa d'Raisa. Which Issa d'Raisa? It says in the Torah, Le'isosim in Adavar, Asher Yegidu L'Chayom in Asmal. If the Chachamim tell you to do something, you have to listen. You can't disobey the Chachamim. Doesn't matter if they tell you that right is left or left is right. Le'isosim in Adavar, Asher Yegidu L'Chayom in Asmal. That's the Rambam Shita. It's also Yedua that the Ramban argued. In fact, the Ramban's famous kash on the Rambam is that according to the Rambam, every time a person doesn't listen to the Rabbanon, he's over the Isser in the Torah of Leisasim and Adavar Ashi Yegidu L'Chayam and Usmael. So it comes out that every Isser the Rabbanon is really an Isser Deiraisa. Says, if that's the case, why do you find so many differences between Isser Deiraisa and Isser Deirabbanon? For example, a Safik Deiraisa is L'Chumra. A Safik Deirabbanon is L'Kula. If someone's over an Isser Deiraisa, he becomes Pasal Eidus Medeiraisa, according to Abaya. If someone who holds Mumra Eichel Nevelos L'Hachis is Pasal Eidus. According if someone's over an Isra Rabbani, it doesn't become possible this way. There's so many differences between Isra De Reis and Isra De Rabbani. According to the Rambam, every Isra De Rabbani just became an Isra De Reis. That's the Ramban's kasha. So according to the Rambam, every Isra De Rabbani is an Isra De Reis Leisasser. According to Ramban, it's not true. It's not true. But the truth is that even though this is an often quoted machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban, it's something that requires a little bit of a more in-depth analysis. Let's take three steps back and let's revisit this well-known machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. The pasuk loisaser min kolashi agidu l'chayam and usmail is in Parsha Shoiftim. It's in the parish of the Zaki Mamre. The Torah tells the story about the Zaki Mamre. The Zaki Mamre was a member of the Sanhedrin, or someone that was worthy of being a member of the Sanhedrin. And he had it out with his local Bezdin. They had a Melchemta Shal Torah. They were fighting. Is this Mutter? Is this Asr? Is it Asr or is it Mutter? The Gemara says they have to be discussing Adavish as Doinikaris. There's a lot of fine print that you have to read in terms of the laws of a Zakir Mamre. But the point is, there's a parish of the Zakir Mamre. So the Torah says, what are you supposed to do? So you have this Machloikas going on in a Derful somewhere. So the Torah says, V'kamta al-Alis, V'alis al-Amokim, Ashi Yivcha Hashem al-Kachaboy. The Zakir Mamre should go together with the local Chavre Dayanim. They take a road trip, they go up to Yerushalayim, they go up to the Makom HaMishkan, and they have to ask the Sanhedrin, Ubas ala kehanim alavim v'lashoifetash yibayom mahein, v'darashto v'yegidol chazvar ha-mishpat. Present the two tzadim and hear what they have to say. Says the Torah, this is the context. Zokei Mamre. V'osisa al pi adover asher yagidu l'cha min amokim mahu asher yifcha Hashem. Do whatever they tell you to do. V'shomarto laso yis kochal asher yerucha. Doesn't matter what they tell you to do, you have to do it. Al pi atoir asher yerucha v'al amishpat asher yoyim l'cha tas. Tzim tzveitin mo. And then finally, tzim dritin mo. Lo yisosim in adover asher yagidu l'cha yom in a small. Two assays and one lo yisa say that the Zokei Mamre has an obligation to listen to whatever they say. What happens if the Zakir Mamre goes back home and he says, I went to the best and I heard what they had to say, but they're wrong and I'm right? And he continues paskining the way he paskined. He was Chayim Mises Bezin. Not only was he Chayim Mises Bezin, they used to kill him publicly. He was one of the four people that they waited until all the Yidnu Wa'ilu Regal. They did this Barabim. Why? Because like the Gemara talks about him in Sechta Sanhedrin. Either way, the Pasik of Leisasser is written in a context. The context is the parish of the Zakei Mamre. The Zakei Mamre goes, he takes on the Sanhedrin, and it's in that context that there's a halacha of V'asisa al pi adov asher yagidu l'cha,
And it's in that context, the Ramban, let's start with the Ramban, held that that's Poshit, that the halachas of Zakim Mamre are only relevant if the machloikas between the Zakim Mamre and his local Bezdin was Negeya Din Dairaisa. If they were arguing with regards to a Din Darabbanon, there'd be no halach of Zakim Mamre. If there was a machloikas, is this a Shnius Larayas? It's not a Shnius Larayas. If they were discussing halach and Hilchas Chanukah, which is a Din Darabbanon, there'd be no parish of Zakim Mamre. The parish of Zakim Mamre was said with regards to a Din Dairaisa. That's Pasha. So what was the machloikas? It's a pasuk in the Torah. No, it's not so. Not true, says the Ramban. Because in the world of Dairaisa, you have Torah Shabiksav, and you have the Torah Shabal Peh. Torah Shabal Peh, Yud Gimel Midah, Shai Torah Nidrashus Behem, the Lamed Beis Midahs, Shai Torah Nidrashus Behem. So says the Ramban, it's Pashit. The Machloikas was, how to understand the Pasuk. Should you make the Kal V'chaim, or should you not make the Kal V'chaim? Is this a real Gzeir Shav? Is it a Hekish? Is it a Dayu Lovim and Adin Lias Kenadun? Is it Shnei Ksuvim? What is this over here? They were arguing fundamentally with regards to a Din in the Torah, albeit in terms of how the Torah Shabbat Peh, how the Chachamim are supposed to interpret this pasuk in the Torah. That was the machloikas between the Zakim Mamre and this Bezdin. And they went up to Bezdin, and the Bezdin told them what you're supposed to do. Says the Ramban, it's in that context, says the Torah, V'asisa al-pi ha-dov ha-shei yigidu l'cha min ha-mokam ha-hu, al-pi ha-tayra ha-shei yirucha, lo-isasa min ha-dov ha-shei yigidu l'cha yom in-ismail. It's in the context of the Zakim Mamre that the Torah says lo-isasa, meaning, with regards to a dindai raisa, which is merely Torah Shabbat Peh. And there's a suffix over here. Do I have to accept this Messiah Mechatesa? There is a halach of Asis al Piyadavar Ashi Agidu Lucham and Amokamahu. There is a halach of Al Piyatar Ashi Arucha Bala Mishpat Ashi Yom Luchatasa. There is a halach of Loi Sosur Min Hadavar Ashi Yagidu Luchayam and Asma. It's all where the halach of Zakim Mamre applies, which says the Ramban is Pasha was only Negeya Dinei Dairaisa. So if that was only Negeya Dinei Dairaisa, it's only in the context of Dinei Dairaisa that there's halach of Loi Sosur. So says the Ramban, I know this. Something called Loi Sosur. You think I don't know? There's something called, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Well, what did Ramban do about Loi Sosur? Ramban asked 40 kashas on the Rambam. I understand, Ramban. And had you learned Loi Sosur? So what's the short answer? The Ramban held Loi Sosur's negeya with the Chachamim were interpreting a din deiraisa. Loi Sosur's only negeya dinei deiraisa. What do you mean? If it's dinei deiraisa, then why do I have to listen to the Chachamim? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's not true. Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh is Mesoira. Torah Shabbat Peh is Yud Gamu Midah Shatar and Nidrashus Bam. You have a lochis l'moishim. You see now that you may only know through the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's where this is all negeya. It's negeya the Loi Sosur. If someone is over an issa deiraisa of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Ramban says, of course, you're over Vasisa, you're over Al Piyat Torah Shei Yerucha, you're over Loi Sosur Min Adav Shei Yigidu L'Chom L'Yom Nesmal. The Ramban knew Loi Sosur. The Ramban understood that Loi Sosur is only Negeya Dinei Deiraisa, where we need rabbinic intervention in order to understand that Din Deiraisa, a.k.a. Torah Shabbat Peh. And over there, if the Chachamim say that this is Asa Medeiraisa, you have a special Isser called Loi Sosur, and you have an Asay of Asis on Al Piyatayim. But if something is a regular prostate din de Rabbanon, says the Ramban, there's no Loi Sosur, there's no Vasisa, there's no Al Piyatayim. That's not what that Pasuk was talking about. That Pasuk was discussing the Zakim Mamre. The Zakim Mamre only became a Zakim Mamre if he was debating a din de Raisa. It has to be something that's a deiraisa de gedit, albeit that it requires rabbinic intervention. The Rambam argued. The Rambam held that you could become a Zakim Mamre if you argued with your local bezin, even for a din de rabbanon. He says in the first in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Hilchas Mamrim. So the Rambam held that the halachas of Zakim Mamre are not exclusive to dinei deiraisa, but rather they apply to dinei de rabbanon as well. If that's the case, for asisa al piyat dov ashi yagidu lecha, and al piyat toira ashi yoyrucha, and lo yisosim and adov ashi yagidu lecha yom and asmol, are not unique to dinei deiraisa. They relate to dinei de rabbanon as well. Hence the Rambam shita that if someone's over and the Rabbanan, you're also going to be over Loi Sosur. In other words, this machloikis between the Rambam and Ramban, whether Loi Sosur is negeya all the Rabbanans, anytime the Rabbanan tell you not allowed to do something, Loi Sosur and Atar Shekidu Chayam and Asmal, or Loi Sosur is related specifically to a din deiraisa that we need help from the Rabbanan, just for us to know the Messiah of the Torah Shabbat Peh, is really the Shitasayu, whether the halach of Zakim Mamre is negeya only Dine de Raisa, or it's also negeya Dine de Rabbanon. What does it have to do with the other? What does Loi Sosur have to do with Zakim Mamre? Because E Mikri Yoyse Medei Pshutai, the context of Loi Sosur is the parish of Zakim Mamre. Either way, we have a machloikis between the Rambam and Rabban had to learn the pasuk of Leisasim and Adavar. Asher Yagidu L'cha Yomer. This is one of the most famous shittas in Rambam in his entire Yad Chazaka. The Rambam held that anytime the Rabbanan tell you to do something, or anytime the Rabbanan tell you you should not do something, if you violate what the Rabbanan said, you're over an Isidai Reis. A Leisase. Leisasim and Adavar Asher Yagidu L'cha Yomer. According to Rabban, it's not true. According to Rabban, if you're over an Isidai Rabbanan, you're over an Isidai Rabbanan. You're not over any Isidai Reis. What does Leisasim mean? If you're over Teresh Shabbat, Peh, then you're over an Isidai Rabbanan. In addition to being over the Isidai Torah, there's an added Isidai of Leisasim because you also went against the Chacham. It's a special voice I say of not listening to the Chachamim, but not when the Chachamim are making things up, when the Chachamim are interpreting the Torah, when they're transmitting the Messiah, the biblical Messiah, the Deraisa de Gedin, not the Torah Shabbat Ksav, but rather the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wrote a kuntras called Kuntras Divrei Seifern. And in Simon Aleph of Kuntras Divrei Seifern, he asks a rather philosophical question, a bomb question. His question is, that why is it that a person has an obligation to listen to the Rabbanan? So the Rabbanan tell you to do something. The Rabbanan say, you have to wash Negel Vasa in the morning. The Rabbanan said that not only are the Arayas in the Torah Aser, but in addition to that, you have the Shnius L'Arayas. The Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis. Mid-Arayas, I can carry in a Carmelis. No. You can't carry in a Carmelis. According to Reish Lakish, the Rabbanan said, Chatzi Shir is Aser. This hundreds of Isurei de Rabbanan. Why do I have to listen to Rabbanan? Mehecha teisi, I have to listen to Rabbanan. So it says, Rabbi Chanan, Bishleim eloi de Rambam, that it says in the Torah of Asisu al pi adav rashi yagidu l'cham en amakam ahu. It says al pi atoy rashi yaruchav al mishpat ashi yayimru l'cha. It says leisosim en adav rashi yagidu l'cha yom en ismail. And it's referring to Dinei de Rabbanan as well as it's referring to the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's Pesukim in the Torah. It's a few Pesukim in the Torah. It's a good trivia question, but there's an easy answer to it. It's Pesukim. You just have to be Mavis Sedra. Enough times you'll know this. It says in the Torah, you have to listen to the rabbis. That's what it says. It's in a context, but the Pesuk itself can be understood in a vacuum. For sure, the spirit of the Pesuk is, you have to listen to the Rabbanan. That's the whole idea of the Zagar Mamre. You didn't listen to the Rabbanan. But the Torah says you have to listen to whatever the Rabbanan say, even if they're arguing on a Dir Rabbanan. Rambam Shita is, you always have to listen to the Rabbanan. Abolait the Ramban, the Pesuk of Leisaser v'Asisa, al pi HaTorah Asher Yaruchah, was never talking about Dinei de Rabbanan. The Ramban holds there is no Leisaser by Dinei de Rabbanan. What was it discussing? It was discussing Dinei de Raisa, meaning, the Pasuk never said that if the Rabbanan makes something up, they tell you, you can't carry in a caramel. If you have to listen to the Rabbanan, there's no such Pasuk. That Pasuk, no, that Pasuk is in the context of the Zakeh Mamre. It's only applicable where the Zakeh Mamre is applicable, which is Dine Deiraisa. If it's a Deiraisa, why am I listening to the Rabbanan? What's the Machlokes? Teresh Mapeh. It's the Gay of Teresh Mapeh, which is the Deiraisa the Gedin. But there's no Pasuk anywhere in the Torah that says you have to listen to the Chachamim. So, Frank Rabbi Chanan, Loit Rambam, why do I have to listen to the Chachamim? So the Bezdin gets up and they put out a Kol Kaire. You could do this, you can't do that. You have to do this, you're not allowed to do that. And forget about, go back into antiquity. If you had a Bezdin of Dovra Melech, of Shloima Melech, maybe of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Yeshua Benun, the Skenim, the Shoiftim. Why do I have to listen to them? Who state that I have to listen to the Torah? Yeah, I understand that. God created the world, He said this is what you have to do. We all heard it at our Sinai. We don't have much of a choice. But the Rabbanah Mechatesi, what obligates me to listen to the Rabbanah? Yeah, I'm just stating the Torah, you have to listen to the Rabbanah. Okay, so the same Torah that says you have to put on tefillin says you have to listen to the Rabbanah. But like the Ramban, there's no such pasuk in the Torah. The only pasuk is Parashat Shoiftim. That's the Rambam. Learned Parashat Shoiftim talking about the Rabbanah. But according to Rabban, why do I have to listen to Rabbanah? Rabbi Chanan struggles with this question. But Rabbi Chanan has a very, very interesting answer. And there's a lot of raid affiliated. Minei Ubei and Rabbi Chanan. The whole raid by this Rabbi Chanan's face. And Minei Ubei in Rabbi Chanan, we'll just throw it out there. V'tein l'chachem v'yech gamay. Says Rabbi Chanan, I think I found the answer. And he says, you know what I think I found the answer? I think I found it in a Rambam. You know which Rambam? Perikov Dalet Hilchot Shabbos, where the Rambam talks about the laws of Muktzah. He says, the Rambam gave three reasons why the Chachamim asked in Muktzah. The Ravid said, Ikar Chasim and Asim, gave three reasons, you missed the real one. That's the Ravid's kasha. But the Rambam gave three. And the first of his three was, because if a person's going to violate the laws of Muktzah, Shabbos is going to look like Sunday. You're just going to be, you sit around, you're not working, and you'll just take care of different errands that you have to take care of. So what? V'nimsa shaloi shavas ubatal hatam shenema b'atayra l'man yonuach. And what you're going to then do is violate the tam, the spirit.
The spirit of what the Torah meant when it said l'man yanuach. Zok Rabbi Chanan, that's poshet. Muktzah is a din d'rabbanon. The only tzad that muktzah is d'irais is the chsam soifes psicha muktzah by achila v'hoya by yemashish v'echinu. But muktzah of tilta, what the Rambam's talking about, of course is a din d'rabbanon. So what the Rambam mean when he said u'batal atam shenemer b'Torah l'man yanuach? He says, I think the Rambam was megalata something very important, and that is, there is the letter of the law, and there's the spirit of the law. The letter of the law of L'man Yonuach is that you have to rest. What does rest mean? Don't violate the Lamatas Malachas. So to me, my Shabbos could be like a regular weekday, as long as I'm not Zayrei, I'm not Chayrish, I'm not Koitzer, I don't do Bayer, so I'm not Makabapatish, I can get away through a Shabbos. That's true. Batel hatam shenema b'Torah. But there's a certain time. What did the Torah want when it said l'man yanuach? What it meant to say was that you're supposed to rest. Today's Shabbos for the Eibishter. And as a result, what you need to do is make the Shabbos look like it's a Shabbos. Says Rabbi Chanan, the Chachamim understood that when the Torah said l'man yanuach, it meant more than just lametes malachas. But the Torah, for whatever reason, in Hashem's infinite wisdom, chose not to tell us that you're not allowed to do more than lametes malachas. But it's poshet, says Rabbi Chanan, it's poshet that l'man yanuach means more than just not do lametes malachas. And says Rabbi Chanan, that was the premise for the Chachamim's takana of muktzah. They didn't just wake up one morning and say muktzah. They saw muktzah in the Torah. What do you mean? The Torah never said muktzah. The Torah said l'man yanuach. And even though it was defined in the Torah Shavah Pez Lametes Malachas, that's as it relates to explicit Yisurim. But at the same time, it was understood to the Chachamim that l'man yanuach means more than Lametes Malachas. And it means certain things that are not mefurish. So says Rabbi Chanan, when the Chachamim went ahead and they said muktzah, what the Rambam's saying is, they weren't creating their own mitzvah called muktzah. They were saying that the Torah doesn't allow muktzah. What do you mean the Torah doesn't allow muktzah? It never said you're not allowed to do muktzah. I know exactly what it said. Lametes malachas. That's true. That's what it said mefurish. That's in the Messiah of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But really, there's more than that. There's the time of l'man yanuach as well. And that's also really included in the Torah. What's the oimek? So it says Rabbi Chanan, the oimek is that Chum understood that Hashem didn't want the Yidden to be metalpa muktzah. And if Hashem doesn't want you to do something, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it merely midrabanan. You're not allowed to do it midday raisa. If Hashem doesn't want you to do something, you can't do it. Meaning, if you had a nevuah tonight, and Hashem came to you and he says, I don't want you to do something, you would understand you're not allowed to do it. No, but chances are you're not going to have a nevuah. But over here, the Chachamim are the conduit. They're the medium of us somehow knowing what Hashem does and doesn't want. What the rots in Habayri is. What's mefurish in the Torah and not mefurish in the Torah, the Aseis and the Lois Aseis, that's not all Hashem does and doesn't want. That's all Hashem commanded us to do and told us that we're not allowed to do. But there's a lot more than that that Hashem does want us to do, and there's a lot more than that that Hashem doesn't want us to do. Throughout the generations, when the Chachamim went ahead and the Chachamim imposed different derabbanans, what they were doing was they were revealing what the Ratzon HaBayir was. And they were revealing that the Ratzon HaBayir isn't just not to carry four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't even carry four Amos in a Carmelis. Really? Why did it say Rosh Hashanah? It didn't say anything about a Carmelis, because the Torah wanted it specifically instruct you about a Rosh Hashanah, not specifically instruct you about a Carmelis. But they somehow saw, again, in the vein of this Rambam, sort of in the spirit of the law, there was an understanding that really they wanted more than Yoisem Imasha Kosov Kan Yeshkan. And says Rabbi Chanan, that is the Yisoid that you can drag along to every Yisoid Rabbanan. That's what's going on over here. The reason you have to listen to the Rabbanan is not because you have to listen to the Rabbanan per se. It's not because if they said it, you have to listen to it. No, you have to listen to the Torah. But the Rabbanan had a koyach, because they're the masters of the Torah, to reveal the real pshat in the Torah and to be megala what Hashem wants you to do. And if they can prove to you that Hashem wants you to do something, even if it doesn't say mefurish in the Torah, you have to do it, you're going to have to do it. And if they can prove to you that Hashem doesn't want you to do something, even if it doesn't say mefurish in the Torah that you're not allowed to do it, you're not going to be allowed to do it. That's the yesoid. That's the yesoid of every derabbanan, and that's the reason you have to listen to the rabbanan. So according to the Rambam, the reason you have to listen to the rabbanan is pesukim in the Torah. Most notably, according to the Ramban, the reason you have to listen to the rabbanan is not because you have to listen to the rabbanan per se. They have no authority over you. They have no right to tell you have to listen to them. Now, melech may
Rebbe, you don't have to listen to the Rabbanon. But the Rabbanon do have an ability to interpret the Torah. They're the experts when it comes to Torah. And as a result, if they tell you that this is what the Eibishter wants, that even though we know Lamites Malachas B'Mesoyrah, but I'm telling you the time of Laman Yonuach is also Muktzah, then that means it's an Issa Muktzah, and the Eibishter doesn't want you to keep Muktzah. So what's the difference between the Deraisa and the Rabbanon? Every Rabbanon should be a Deraisa. So again, why is the Deraisa more Chomer and the Rabbanon less Chomer? So Rabbanon addresses there. Rabbanon says the answer is very simple, because at the end of the day, if Hashem told you specifically don't do this, and the other thing he never told you specifically don't do, what does that mean? The thing he told you specifically not to do must be more chomer than the other thing. He brings actually a very cute raya. He brings a raya from a Rashi in Parashas Chayesara. Rashi says that the Torah mentions the story of Eliezer Eved Avram twice. Right, he first his tefillah, and then in real time, when it plays out. So Reb Acha said, "Yofas ichasan shal abdi yovis lefnei amakum yoisa mitayrasan shal banim." Shari parshasan shal yaz eved Avraham nichpul shtei pamin. V'harbi gufei toyer leninu elaber miza. Says Reb Elchanan, what do you see from that Hashem likes tefillah and shal abdi yovis more? He says, because you see, if you talk about something a lot, it means you like it. The more mayrich you are, the more explicit you are, the more chashuv it is. So if the sichas and shalav the avos is mentioned twice, and certain gufei Torah only mentioned by remiza, it means sichas avos on some levels more chashuv than gufei Torah. When the Torah was mitzavah something mefurish, that means it's more chashuv than if I only know what the Torah wanted based on the spirit of the law, using that word loosely, based on the rabbanon and extrapolating it from a pasuk in the Torah. That's why, even according to the Raman, you find a chumrah by the erises over the rabbanans.